Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be joining us in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. I apologize for my tardy. I had to do some things for my mom. And there's a little bird that we had from our last review. I'm trying to find where the little recording is. So if you hear a bird, which is the cardinal, is the recording that I want to be able to find. This is our Sabbath review for chapter 32 entitled The Home of the Saved, part 3, on this Sabbath, May 16, 2026. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And once more, welcome. We are going to ask our dear brother to be able to share a tiny thought team hymn entitled When the Saved Get to Heaven. And I'm going to pass the mic to him.
All right. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. When we walk the pilgrim pathway, that's while clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the street of gold. When the saved get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout the victory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask any one of the precious little ones to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, dear ones. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor end, all thy work in the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the things that we learn in the review and the things that we are learning throughout this Sabbath. And please protect this. Please protect the Holy Family. And please protect and please protect everybody that I don't. And in Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear little sister. It is story time for precious tiny tots to learn precious things in their lesson, part 3. So let's have a listening ear, dear ones. And we are going to hand it back to our dear brother. We are in the story of Jesus, chapter 32, entitled The Home of the Saved, and this is our part 3.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the following books. Our opening scripture is taken from Isaiah 32:18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Isaiah 60:18, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, blossom as the rose. Instead of a thorn, the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, and they shall not cut off. Be cut off. And that's verses 16, 18 to 20. Oh, wait a minute. Isaiah 60 and 35. Okay, Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and not eat him. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's also found in Habakkuk 2, I think verse 8. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. Okay. There are ever-flowing streams, clear as crystal, and beside them waving trees cast their shadow, plural, upon the path prepared for the ransomed of the Lord. There the wide-spreading palm plains swell into hills of beauty, and the mountains of God are rear their lofty summits. On these peaceful plains, beside these living streams, God's people, so long pilgrims and wanderers, will find a home. My people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. Isaiah 32:18 and 60:18. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah 65:21 and 22. There, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Isaiah 35:1 and 55:13. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the child shall lead them. Yeah, a little child shall lead them. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isaiah 11:6-9. There will be no more tears, no funeral train, no badges of mourning. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, for the former things are passed away. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people shall dwell therein, that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Revelation 21:4 and Isaiah 33:24. This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 184 and 185. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with our final part, part 4 of our chapter, in our toddler's program entitled The Home of the Saved, in our tiny toddler's book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear one, May the 23rd, 2026. Welcome to the dear ones that are coming in. We are going to share a scripture song. And this one is from Ezekiel 36:26-28 and also 38.
Spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will cut my spirit within you,
and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep thy judgments and do them, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God, and they shall know.
And that promise has been given to every man. We are going to pass the review question to our dear brother. May you unmute your mic, dear brother.
I think it's unmuted. Okay, what do the forever flowing streams look like?
Are they money? Answer to number one is clear as a crystal.
Clear. There is crystal. Oh, good. They're not going to be dirty like some of our rivers. What will God's people find on those peaceful plains?
A home.
Go ahead.
A home.
A home. Well, that'll be nice. Instead of thorns and briars, what two trees will come up?
The answer to number three is the fir tree and the myrtle tree.
The fir and the myrtle tree. Now, I can recognize the fir, but I wouldn't recognize the myrtle, so I'll be, there's a surprising store for me. All right, the bonus question is, what three sad things won't be in the new earth?
Tears, seemed funerals, truth, and the badges of the memories.
Those things that make us cry down here, yeah. They won't be there. Okay. Thank you for participating. Back to Rose.
Dear Brother Dick, as you had just said that you didn't know what the myrtle tree looked like, I was really moved to be able to share a little quote from Testimony Volume 6, page 308, if you would like to be able to read it for them. This is the thorn. This is the fir tree, like the evergreen tree, and this is the myrtle tree. So let's find out what is in store in this small paragraph. Dear Brother Dick, would you like to share?
Okay. And often our merciful Father encourages His children and strengthens their faith by permitting them here to see evidence of the power of His grace upon the heart and lives of those who will, for whom they labor. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give heat seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my people, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. Shall prosper it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with praise. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign shall be cut off. Isaiah 55:8-13, found in Bias 3081.
Was that I was impressed while I was reading the little children and the toddlers program. Our lives are going to be sometimes trying. We are going to have difficulties. We may have many things that are in the picture with the scripture that says the thorn shall come up. The fir tree, and instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree. Do you remember that our Savior was crucified and they placed a crown of thorns on His head? Well, by the wounds that He had received in Calvary, we are all healed. Just remember this picture once, that we are going to go through different things because we are partake of your suffering. And the antidote to those things is God. He had left the word to heal us from all of the wounds that we will be receiving during our life walking as a Christian. But as He feeding us the word and He's watering us, just like the way how you water the plants, we are like evergreen trees, even though the seasons in the year, all of the things and the condition changes what happens to that will fall are emerged with the word of God, which is the water, because the evergreen tree keeps the water in its roots. That means that no matter what's going on, storms, either drought or anything that happens to nature with the tree, the evergreen stay evergreen, because the faith that we have is in His word, and the Lord is the one that will give us the grace, the power, and the strength to be able to overcome. And if we become faithful until the very end, just like the myrtle tree will blossom. That will happen if we become obedient and continue to walk the path that the Lord has given us, Just imagine the little path that is in between all of these things. That path is going to lead to, by the invitation that the Lord said, through my righteousness, he said that we will be able to earn that white garment that is a symbol of his righteousness and a crown. So just like our Savior, he was crucified. He lived here as a man to be able to let that path that we may follow. And as we follow, if we are obedient and overcome in Christ Jesus, just like he will be king, and he's already king, but the actual time of crowning is going to be when all the work is done. And he said that he will also give us a crown if we also continue to do the work until the very end and overcome. Just remember, dear one, we have to hold fast and endure, for there is a beautiful crown that is waiting for us. I just wanted to share this, and we will continue. And remember, little ones, when the Savior to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When the saved see Jesus, they'll sing and shout for victory. I hope we all are there by God's grace. We are going to ask any of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open the review section. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Thank you, God, for waking us up in this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and everybody that we're here to learn about the Sabbath lessons. Please protect the review that we're going to be learning and the people that are here, people who are not here, and the people who are listening to the recordings and just listening online. Please protect us as we are going to be learning from the past. Please protect everybody that we know. And yes, here in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray,
amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to review what they have learned in their first part of their lesson. From God's creation through nature, we're still in our topic, Mamas of the Bible. So this Sabbath, boys and girls, and all our guests, we will be going over part one of our new lesson, Faith in Canaan. The topic from last Sabbath was the segment of the lifestyle of the bear. And our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Today, this is our review of our topic, Mamas of the Bible, taken from Family Bible Lesson for FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 11, Faith in Canaan. The Bible verses for our nature segment review of Lessons 11, entitled Faith in Canaan. Our opening scripture is taken from 1st Matthew 15:25. Then came she and worshipped, saying, Lord, help me. And next we have Mark 7:24-26. And it reads, and from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know, but he could not be there. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. In our memory verse for today's lesson is Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And the character quality of the whole story is health or healthiness versus conflict. Health or healthfulness is a harmonious state of complete physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. We will be reviewing lesson 3, A Bear's Lifestyle. We will be reading about the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. It's part of our Nature 7 third topic review. And in the thoughts below, next to the bear, it says, memory verse, let your Maharishi be known unto all men. Both again. Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Matthew 15:25. The woman urged her case with increase and bowing at Christ's feet and crying. Jesus, still apparently rejecting her entreaties, according to the unfeeling prejudice of Jews, the desire of it is page 401. She did all she could to gain her daughter's health. And on our right, read, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. 3 John 2. This page is a coloring page, so you're free to color the words and the picture of the Canaanitish woman. What does it mean to be in health? The health closely relates to conscience and religion. Love for God is essential for life and health. In order to have perfect health, our hearts would be filled with love and hope and joy. Manuscript 24-1900 from Manuscript of Releases, 3, page 329, paragraph 2. Chapter 8, Preaching the Distinctive Truths. The body must be kept in a healthy condition in order that the soul may be in health. The condition of the body affects the condition of the soul. He who would have physical and spiritual strength must educate his appetite in right lines. He must be careful not to burden the soul by overtaxing his physical or spiritual powers. Faithful adherence to right principles in eating, drinking, and dressing is a duty that God has laid upon human beings. Evangelism, page 261, paragraph 1. The Lord desires us to obey the laws of health and life. He holds each one responsible to care properly for his body. It may be kept in health. Letter 123-1903. However, behind a serious countenance, Jesus hides a something. He knows God led him here to meet this woman and to give her daughter health. Here, remind any things you can do while you remember today's lessons. As you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lessons. Two, as you can freeze or dry food for the winter months or use preserved food, remember the bear preparing for its winter sleep. And three, for all the memory verses you can, your mind to feed on during the coming spiritual winter. And below all the pictures, there's a preserved food, and between pictures of these two children reading Bible with their parents. It says, Mark 13:31, King James Version, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Here, being first activities you can do to help you remember today's lesson. One, look for bears. Use your guidebook to identify them. Two, can or dry some fruit to give to someone that is not in good health and cannot do their own. Three, practice leaving the table this week without the overfull feeling. Eat only a little to practice good health. Four, for individual activities, stories, and poems, use the book and tell children's Bible activities, stories, and poems. Water. And five, say a memory verse. And here we have a picture of a black bear cub from Lesson Book. And next and below we have four more other pictures of black of bear cubs and trinkies. Well, next to one. Bear cubs must learn which foods are available at different seasons. They also have to learn where to find these foods and how to eat them. what food has this bear cub found? And the answer is, well, it's a piece of fruit he's eating. And here we have more pictures of black bear cubs eating kinds of fruits. One is eating berries and the other bears are eating apples. What do black bears eat? They eat fish, berries, insects, and plants. But basically they eat really anything, including eating dead carcasses, garbage, food left over by people. And they'll even hunt on other animals like deer or fear if they have to hunt. What do bears eat? Berries, fish, insects, fruits. And they'll even hunt other animals like deer if they need to. Oh, okay. So what do brown bears eat? Well, berries, fish, insects, and roots, and anything else that they may find. Remarkable parent food. The Pharisees had gathered close about Jesus as he answered the question of the scribe. Now turning, he put a question to them. What thing he of Christ? Whose son is he? This question was designed to test their belief concerning the Messiah, to show whether they regarded him simply as a man or as the Son of God. A chorus of voices answered, "The Son of David." This was the title which prophecy had given to the Messiah. When Jesus revealed his divinity by his mighty miracles, when he healed the sick and raised the dead, the people had inquired among themselves, "Is not this the Son of David?" A Phoenician woman, blind Bartimaeus, and many others had cried to him for help. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." Matthew 15:22. While riding into Jerusalem, he had been hailed with a joyful shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Matthew 21:9. And the little children in the temple had that day echoed the glad ascription. But many who called Jesus the Son of David did not recognize his divinity. They did not understand that the Son of David was also the Son of God. The Desire of Ages, page 608-609. You have heard the saying, "Hungry as a bear," but God would like us to be known for something else. What is it? And the answer is in the 8 laws of health. The second one is in temperance. And it says, is under the picture of this girl next to a bunch of fruits and holding a bowl of, I think, apples, that must be. You must hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. And here we read, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Memory verse, Philippians 4:5. And below we see pictures of paw prints belonging to these three types of bears. The smallest one is for the black bear, medium-sized one for the brown bear, and the polar bear is the biggest one. Here, tracks. The front foot of a grizzly on the left. Tends to look more square than a black bear that appears rounded. If you draw a straight line across the top of the foot pad, the line will not intersect the toes of a grizzly. A straight line drawn across the top of a black bear on the right front paw will intersect the toes. Additionally, grizzly bears have longer claws, so middle claw marks will be 2 to 4.5 inches from the end of the toe pad. The black bear male claw marks will be 1 to 2.5 inches from the end of the toe pads. And here on the left, we see the differences between the black bear. The black bear has no shoulder hump, has a high rump, long oval ears, straight face, and short claws. It's black. fight back. And here, that's the warning they'll give if you encounter one. Next we have the brown or grizzly bear. They have distinct shoulder hump. They have a low rump. Their short rounded ears, there's a dish face and long claws. If it's brown, lie down. That's a tactic if you ever encountered one. Information from greateryellowstone.org/grizzlybear versus black bear. Let's learn more and review our three set character qualities from part one of last Sabbath. So the law to the testimony version. One, moderation. Two, earnestness. And three, prejudice. Moderation in scripture and spirit of prophecy. Again, our memory verse mentioned, Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Provide an abundance of the best food. Children and youth should not be underfed in the least degree. They should have an abundance of healthful food, but this does not mean that it is proper to place before them rich cakes and pastry. They should have the best of exercise and the best of food, for these have an important bearing upon the condition of the mental and moral powers. A proper wholesome diet will be one of the means whereby healthful digestion may be preserved. Child Guidance, page 390, paragraph 3. Helpful living, a personal obligation. What we eat and drink has an important bearing upon our lives and characters. And Christians should bring their habits of eating and drinking to conformity to the law of nature. We owe our obligations to God these matters. Obedience to the law of health should be made a matter of earnest study, for will and ignorance on this subject is sin. Each one should feel a personal obligation to carry out the laws of healthful living. Chapter 62, Eating to Live, Child Guidance, page 392, paragraph 4. Earnestness in Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy. We have now only a little time in which to prepare for eternity. May the Lord open the closed eyes of his people and quicken their dulled sense, that they may realize that the gospel is the power of God of salvation to them that believe. May we see the importance of giving so pure and righteous a representation of God that the world shall see him in his beauty. May they be so filled with the spirit that dwells in him that the world will have no power to divert them from the work of presenting to men the wonderful possibilities before every soul who receives Christ. Testimonies to Church, Volume 7, page 11, paragraph 4. In all lines of our work, there is need of greater earnestness. Time is passing. God's servants are to be not slothful of business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. People need the truth, and by earnest faithful effort, it is to be communicated to them. Souls are to be sought for, prayed for, labored for. Earnest appeals are to be made. Fervent prayers are to be offered. Our tame, spiritless petitions are to be changed into petitions of intense earnestness. God's word declares, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Testimony to the Church, Volume 7, page 12, paragraph 1. The world is our mission of toil, and we are to go forth to labor surrounded with the atmosphere of Gethsemane and Calvary. Prejudice, scripture and spirit prophecy. Prejudice, verb term. To a previous event or bias of mind for or against any person or thing. Preposition. Sorry, prepossession. There is an unaccountable prejudice to projectors of all kinds. Three, mischief, hurt, damage, injury. Violent factions are a prejudice to the authority of the sovereign. How plain this abuse is, and what prejudice it does to the understanding of the sacred scriptures. Chapter 2, the Beatitudes. It is thus that God's purpose in calling his people from Abraham on the plains of Mesopotamia to us in this age is to reach its fulfillment. He says, I will bless thee, thou shalt be blessed, Genesis 12:2. The words of Christ through the gospel prophet, which are but re-echoing the Sermon on the Mount, are for us in this last generation. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 61. If upon your spirit the glory of the Lord is risen, if you have beheld his beauty, who is the chiefest among 10,000, and the one altogether lovely, if your soul has become radiant in the presence of his glory, to you is this word from the Master sent. Have you stood with Christ on the Mount of Figuration? Down in the plain there are souls enslaved by Satan. They are waiting for the Lord of word of faith and prayer to send me. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 43, paragraph 1. This Sabbath we will review more about our third topic, a bear's lifestyle. Bears in captivity have similar tastes to those in the wild. However, due to the differences in living conditions, captive individuals have distinct lifestyles. They depend on their captors for their meals and do not face any interference from the overall environment. Their meal does vary depending on what their captors determine they need. Most times, zookeepers regulate what these bears eat to control their weight. Given their lifestyle, they don't need to go through a process of hibernation. Bears in captivity feed on berries as their main plant source. Their meat diet comes from salmon, chickens, and rabbits, and among others. Captors often feed whole animals to these bears so they can gain every possible nutrient, including calcium from the bones. Information from animalvisit.com/2bears-eat. Bears in captivity have similar taste to those in the wild, part 2. It is said to be 9 times stronger than a bloodhound and 2,100 times stronger than a human. Not surprised, the bear relies on the sense of smell more than others to find prey. Or food, for that matter. They can smell you miles away, but don't necessarily attack when they do. The bear forages, spending the bulk of its hour looking for food. Given the need to store fat for winter, feeding is a primary aim. The foraging tactics and strategies vary based on the species. Pandas spend up to 16 hours looking for bamboo. The black and grizzly bears spend less prioritizing plants over animals. Polar bears ambush seals and other prey, but they will go eat seaweed if they can't find any. Many bears go fishing using their mouth as a tool. Antarctica, what to eat on the white continent. Stage 3, going up. The cubs stay with their mother for 30 to 36 months. During this period, they learn how to feed, swim, hunt, and survive on their own from their mother. Then the cubs reach the sub-adult age when it's time to leave the mother. Four, polar bear life cycle for kids. Life cycle is a series of changes in living things from its birth to death. Any living thing, including all plants and animals, have a life cycle. Polar bears are born and feed on their mother's milk in a den. When the cubs are ready to come out of the den, they weigh 20 to 25 pounds. Their mother will ensure their safety and teach how to hunt, steal, and fish they like to eat. Then the cubs reach sub-adult life stage, during which they leave their mother, but are still unable to have babies of their own. During the sub-adult life, the polar bear siblings share their food and live together. Female polar bears are able to have babies at the age of 4 and 5, while the male polar bears reach maturity at age 6. The polar bears are adults, so the male weighs up to 900 pounds, while the female weighs between 300 and 600 pounds. Information from polar bear life cycle, so birth to death, ages, facts, diagram, work. Stage 5, denning in fall and winter. After mating, the female polar bears feed themselves all the summer to survive the long denning season. They start building a maternity den before winter, where it will give birth to its cubs and nurse them till March or early April. The den is usually made in snowdrifts near a coast or river and hills near sea ice in the snowbanks of frozen sea. The den is about the size of the polar bear with enough space for it to turn around. After the birth of the cubs, the polar bear life cycle completed and that of cubs began to start. Stage 6, death. In the wild, the polar bear can live up to 25 years, while in captivity they can live more. The cause of polar bear death includes disease, accidental, climate change, and hunting by humans. Information from zoologist.com/polar bear life cycle. Our third topic from our lesson 11, a bear's lifestyle. How do bears find food? Bears have a certain routine each year. During winter, they go into hibernation, which can last for around 7 months. They don't sleep off during this period, but have ways of reducing metabolism to survive, which includes not eating. Because their mode of hibernation differs from smaller animals like hedgehogs, some experts prefer to term this as torpor instead. In preparation for the period of inactivity, bears in the wild eat a lot during the summer. They're constantly on the lookout for food from their waking moments till when they sleep. These creatures are diurnal, so all activities are done in broad daylight. To help it achieve eating aim, bears possess strong senses. Their eyesight is like that of humans and enables them to see food. The sense of food is even better, helping them pick up the frequency from afar. Having said that, neither sight nor hearing is as strong as the sense of smell. American black bear range. Black bears, they are forested environments with fruit and nut producing trees and shrubs that live in small clearings. Lowland and wetland habitats provide these bears with succulent vegetation, while access to streams and pools is necessary for hydration. Black bears seek refuge in trees and tend to prefer trees because utilizing them as easily climb refuges. Here, the light green, that's the historic range where they used to live, and the dark green is the current range where they're living now. Black bear versus Americanus. Black bears are North America's most familiar and common bears. They typically live in forests and are excellent tree climbers, but are also found in mountains and swamps. Despite their name, black bears can be blue-gray or blue-black, brown, cinnamon, or even very rarely white. And here's the range from nearly half of North America. These many places you'll find them. Their type, mammal. Their diet, they're omnivores. Their average lifespan in the wild, 20 years. Their size is 5 to 6 feet long. Their weight is from 200 to 600 pounds. And the group name is sloth or sloth. Fun fact, black bears are not true hibernators. During winter dormant period, though they do not eat, drink, urinate, or defecate, but may wake up if disturbed. Creation from ar.inspirepencil.com. Their range can be found from Alaska to the other side of Canada and many other states like Washington, Oregon, California, Idaho, Montana, Colorado, Utah. A little bit from Arizona, New Mexico, Wyoming, a little bit from in Missouri, Arkansas, and parts of the northeastern different continents, from Maine straight down to the to western of North Carolina, and some can even be found in parts of Florida. In conclusion, what should you experience a bear? What to do if you encounter a bear? If you encounter a grizzly bear, the things you can do is back away slowly, if in safe distance, lay dead over your neck, and remain still. If you ever encounter a black bear, don't play dead. Just move away slowly. If they get too close, either yell or appear large.
I would like to be able to share. I am looking for, there was a bear that was encountered in Oregon. Our dear brother shared with us. I just can't find it. But even though he was large, he was also beautiful. And our dear brother could be able to share. What did he do to be able to allow the bear to go away? But I know we praying and we asked the Lord to put an edge around our home. But there was something that our dear brother had done for the bear encounter in Oregon. Dear brother Bob, are you there so you could be able to share with the children?
Yes. we have two Australian Shepherd dogs, and they were barking right at our fence line, and they wouldn't stop barking. So I went out there. And I noticed that there was a black bear that had climbed up one of the trees and was just looking at the dogs. And when I came out, he climbed up higher up the tree and then was looking at me. And he wasn't scared. He was curious. So he wasn't trying to attack or anything like that. He was just curious. So I think it was probably a juvenile bear that hadn't come across humans before. So I didn't want him to have a positive experience about encountering humans, right, and dogs and close to property. So I tried to scare him away by yelling. He didn't move. He just, you know, oh, someone's yelling, so what? So I picked up some rocks about fist size, and I started throwing them at him. And one hit the tree, and he just kind of looked at it, and then it really didn't faze him. So I kept throwing until I finally hit him, and then one of the rocks ended up hitting him in the shoulder. And he didn't like that very much. So before I could pick up another rock and throw it, he then scampered down the tree and ran in the opposite direction. So of course we were praying, you know, all the time, but I also didn't want the bear to have a positive experience being around, property, inhabited property. And we haven't seen him since, although the dogs do bark at night, you really don't know what's out there. But that's how we handled that situation. They are beautiful to see, but they can be unpredictable. And this one looked like a male to me. But if it's a female and she's aggressive, it's because there's cubs somewhere near. And you really want to be careful that way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Elgara, for sharing. I always wanted to know what will happen if we do encounter bears, but there are so much species, and it depends on where you are. But you know what the beauty of it all? The Lord didn't put them all together. They are basically roaming, and they are able to be, how is it? Distribute all over, but not in groups. Because if one bear can do so much to be able to intimidate us, the Lord even had a perfect plan. As the female goes with her cubs and the males after when they come together. She walks around with her cubs to be able to have the lifestyle that they do have. But just as we love nature, we also have to be able to be encouraged to respect also their space, because we are invading their spaces where they used to live, and there's so many things that are changing in nature for them. So it's good to be able to see them, but from afar, in a place where it will be safe for everyone to be able to enjoy. But they are beautiful. And dear Elder Rob, I hope, or Sister Michelle, if you do find that picture once more, maybe next Sabbath, by God's grace, we could be able to see if it was a really beautiful bear. Okay, that will be the conclusion. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. And we are going to go ahead to the nature part. Last Sabbath, we were not able to share the nature experience from our dear Sister Christina, but now we have it, and we also have the information. Our dear Sister Christina, would you like to be able to? We're going to give a chance for our dear sister to get her mic. And if it's not, you let us know, and our dear brother Josh will proceed.
Hey, everybody. Sabbath blessings. We love the birds. So this is a seagull. And he was just sitting there, just looking around. And he started, talking, if you will. And one seagull came. I was trying to capture the picture, but the other seagull came, and he spoke, and he flew away really quickly, but. As fast as I would try to capture that bird talking and leaving this as fast as that bird flew away. And then he came back, and then this bird that's sitting here on the car spoke to the other bird again, and then a group of them came, and then they all flew away. So he's, to me, this is just my opinion, he's looking like he's standing there like he's the boss or something. So, I was really trying to capture him speaking with the other birds, but they all kind of came in real quickly and left.
Here we have information concerning the bird. He has identifying characteristics. The adults range from 22.1 to 26.0 inches in length and 57.5 inches. And have 53.9 to 57.5 inch wingspan. Green adults have light gray backs, white heads, white undersides, and black wingtips, and may have dusky marks on their heads during the winter. They have yellow eyes, dull pink legs, hefty bills, and barrels. Heron gulls, which is the kind of thing the seagull old Sister Christina saw, are the familiar quintessential seagull in Ohio. They occupy farmland, coasts, bays, beaches, lakes, piers, and landfills. They're most abundant on the coast and surrounding large lakes and river systems. If you spend time at the beach, you'll probably notice herring gulls like this one waiting for you to drop your snack. In addition to popcorn and chips from humans, they consume fish, crustaceans, mollusks, sea urchins, marine worms, smaller birds, eggs, carrion, and insects. review. Heron ghosts will stop at nothing to get a meal. They've been observing, preying on fish. They've been observed preying on fish into the surface by feeding whales. They also will take hard shell items such as crabs and mollusks high into the air and drop them onto rocks to break open. Individuals have even been observing fishing. Individuals have even been observed fishing. One individual was recorded dropping pieces of bread into a pond and catching the goldfish that came up to feed. It didn't eat any bread itself, suggesting the gold using the bread as a lure. The population of herring gulls declined steeply during the 19th century because of overhunting. While their range of population recovered during the 20th century, overfishing, oil spills, pesticide contamination have reduced some population. And here on our left, we see the herring gull range map. The light red or or amber, the amber drawing, it represents breeding, and they breed in most parts of Canada, and a bit of central to east central eastern Alaska. The aquamarine is for migration, and they migrate to the western parts of Canada, also many parts of the U.S. The periwinkle is for non-breeding, and we can see in the southern states, in Mexico, in other places, are there places where they don't breed, and the light green is for year-round, the place where they currently live. And the part is in near parts of the Atlantic Ocean. I've learned that the color for breeding, representing breeding, is mauve. Well, we already heard from what I said earlier. Next, our dear sister Christina with the cumulonimbus cloud, the storm cloud stuff that she saw from view. The information is from the water book, which we read from earlier. Clouds carrying rain and snow, which help to water the earth. Clouds can also for destruction and even death with hail or tornado. Dark clouds hide the sun. There are light clouds that come to each of us. When the sun rises higher in the heavens, it melts away the dark clouds like the love of God. In the east, one little cloud can develop quickly into a raging storm. Even so, one small sin can cause great destruction in a life. How important to have purity of life with every sin confessed and forsaken. Sister Christina, would you like to share your experience from these quick pictures of stormy clouds?
So I was taking Jeremiah and Chrissy something to eat, and I have a habit of just looking. I like looking at the clouds, and I like looking at stars, so I just have a habit of just when I'm just sitting doing nothing, I look up, and it was so crazy, though. You could actually see the clouds literally rolling in, and they were moving so fast. I wish I could have just taken a video of it, but I didn't know if y'all would be able to show a video. But the clouds were literally rolling in, kind of like how the water does when there's a storm and the water gets very tempest. The clouds were rolling in fast. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, wow, because I've never seen clouds move that fast. But at the same time, the way it was coming in was like how somebody would make a roll, when you're rolling dough, that's the only best way I could explain it. And you're making bread, a loaf of bread, and you have to roll it. It kind of reminded me of that, but it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I think you're muted, dear Brother Joshua.
Ooh. Oh, thank you, Brother Joel. My mistake. Continuing with our review, much water is lifted against the force of gravity high into the air, and it is held there until it is carried inland where it can be used. God uses the sun, which is 93 million miles or 149,730,000 kilometers away to do this job. Why? Because there is nothing on earth powerful enough to do it. Satan tried to pull Jesus down to sin by tempting him to let himself rule, but the Holy Spirit drew him up to the Father. How? By giving him strength to obey the word and to deny self. The Holy Spirit is also your emperor. The power of the Son of Righteousness draws up the seas of people to a position of victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is on top right, and this is a picture of a drawing of the cumulonimbus cloud. The Lord is slow to anger and will not at all quick it. The Lord had his way in the whirlwind and the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum 1:3 above says, is the strength to deny self? Holy Spirit and Jesus as well. Our reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from the Desire of Ages, chapter 31, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peace of Christ is born of truth. It's harmony with God. The world is at enmity with the law of God. Sinners are at enmity with their Maker. As a result, they are at enmity with one another. But the psalmist declares, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. Men cannot manufacture peace. Human plans for the purification and uplifting of individual society will fail producing peace because they do not reach the heart. The only power that can create a perpetual true peace is the grace of God. Christ. When this is implanted in the heart, it will cast out the evil passions that cause strife and dissension. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and life's desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Isaiah 55:13-35:1. Chapter 42, the controversy ending. A fear of making the future inheritance seem too material has led many to spiritualize away the very truths which lead us to look up on it as our home. Christ assured his disciples that he went to prepare mansions for them in the Father's house. Those who accept the teachings of God's word will not be wholly ignorant concerning the heavenly abode. Yet I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Human language is inadequate to describe the word of the righteous. It will be known only to those who behold it. No finite minds can comprehend the glory of the paradise of God. The controversy, page 610, paragraph 4. In the Bible, the inheritance of the saved is called a country. Hebrews 11:4-16. The heavenly shepherd leads his flock to fountains of living water. The tree of life yields its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the service of the nations. There are ever-flowing streams, clear as crystal. And beside them, waving trees cast their shadows upon the path prepared for the ransom of the Lord. There, the widespread plains swell into hills of beauty, and the mountains of God rear their lofty summits. On those peaceful plains, beside those living streams, God's people, forlorn pilgrims and wanderers, shall find a home. My people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, in true dwellings and quiet resting places. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy border. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates paradise. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah 32:18, 60:18, 65:21-22. There, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. The wolf also shall dwell at the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isaiah 35:1, 55:13, Isaiah 11:6-9. Great Controversy, page 675, paragraphs 1, 2, and 3. In our three bonus questions, you can find the answer in the Bible, our videos, or the lesson book itself. 1, what did the woman do? The answer is Matthew 15:25. Question 2, what did she say to Jesus? The answer is also Matthew 15:25. And 3, what does it mean to be in hell? And our closing hymn for our toddler studies and how faith looks up to thee. If anyone would like to sing a verse of Ola.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Savior divine, now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly done.
Make thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure and changeless be a living.
When life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. This darkness turn to day, white sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from thee aside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, even one of our little toddlers, our guests, would like to close our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for all the lessons, Father, that you have for us in nature and through your beautiful creatures, Father Jesus. May we be able to absorb all these lessons and also be appreciative for all the blessings that they bring. Be with all the little ones in our presence. Be with their parents. May you guide them, may you bless them, and continuously keep them on your Sabbath day. Be with us, Father Jesus, as we move on to other areas and sections of this lesson. Be with the speakers and all that we are doing here. Please bless and keep us, I pray. Be with the words that will be spoken. And thank you again for your blessed Sabbath day and for bringing us here together. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next week, we will continue with part 4 of our title lesson book entitled The Home of the Saved from our study book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear one, May 23rd, 2026. I have a little small announcement. This part 4 will bring an end to our lesson book. So may you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.